It starts now.
Hello?
Google me.
Out right.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. The Midday Show with Jason Martinez. I'm Anthony Gargano. And can we start? Because I want to explore the Nick Foles magic and everything else. What is the magic hold of Foles over the fan base?
It's a phenomena.
All right, so Foles has a... Nick Foles has this sort of magic about him, right? And, you know, whatever it is, there's something to him. I don't know, you know, if it's going to last, if you can get to another Super Bowl. I think the road's kind of tough to make the playoffs. We'll get into it. Carolina lost last night. But I'm so curious as to the character who Nick Foles is. Because, Jason, it's like this fan base is re-energized. They're in love with Nick Foles. And it's not just he won the Super Bowl last year.
Uh-huh. I know who he is. I figured it out. I cracked the code on him last night. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Got the Jedi mind trick. And he affects everything around him. He uses the Force.
He's got the Force.
Yes. These are not the droids you're looking for. These aren't the droids. You know, I mean, it's...
He's got the Force.
He does. It's the Jedi mind trick. You underestimate him in a lot of ways because the way he runs isn't as fluid as a supreme athlete. He doesn't look the part as much. I mean, he's a big kid and very athletic, was a good basketball player and everything.
He was, yeah.
But for some reason, I think people underestimate him, and he's had supreme success. And it's a lot of people, when they consume sports, look at one thing. And it's really the only thing that does matter is what you accomplish. Winning, losing, success, failure. That's what sports are about. That's why they plug in a scoreboard, right? To keep score. And this guy's won some huge games.
Yeah, it's deeper.
But it goes beyond that. You're right.
It does. And it's because it's funny, listening all day yesterday and talking to people all day yesterday, this morning, they are very quick with this. What if Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl? Isn't he the starter? Now, they got a long way to get to the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Tough road.
A lot of stuff has to happen. Well, at least Minnesota has to lose one of the two games, whatever. But people are making up this scenario, this what-if scenario, and to me it screams of hoping that this happens, not to win the Super Bowl, but so that Foles is the starter.
So you can move forward with Nick Foles.
Yeah, I sense
this. So he's your future.
I sense this. Mm-hmm. You know, I sense this stuff, and, you know, I'm in no position to argue, even though I don't think it's right how Wentz has been just kind of cast aside and people go, Foles is the guy and get rid of Wentz. And, you know, and they don't even, I don't even think there's any sorrow or pity or sympathy.
There's a little bit, matter of fact, there's a little bit of almost glee in certain members of the fan base.
You notice that?
Oh, it's. I think it's so weird. And I swear, I think we need to bring in like outside a research firm to figure out why we react to elite talent players so much differently than we do, I don't want to say marginally talented, but less talented or more, I guess, stock talented players in all the sports.
Yeah, no.
Because we're so much more critical of elite, even if they perform well, but the success doesn't happen, that, and we blame them, yet we won't blame guys that are stock. We accentuate what they did positive, but don't accentuate what they did negative, which is the opposite with an elite talent player.
Well, that makes right, sense. Like, you know, listen, I thought Nick Foles had a dramatic effect on the team, right? Mm-hmm. The team rallied. He gave them, I don't know what it was, but we talked about the magic, the whole thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there was an interception in the red zone that almost cost them the game, or at least the tie, and there was a throw to Zach Ertz that was high and behind him that could have been picked off. And if Wentz had thrown that, they would be killing him.
Yeah.
Killing him.
Yeah, he gets a lot more rope Nick Foles than Wentz does when it comes to the critical analysis of a game. There's no question about it. It's not. I don't think it's even debatable. But why is that?
Yeah, it's so true. You know? It goes beyond just the backup
Covington
quarterback.
And
it goes beyond just the backup quarterback. Like, I remember when A.J. Feely came in for five for Donovan.
He was the third guy.
And that year, right? Yeah. And he goes like 4-1, I think it was, where when Donovan gets hurt against Arizona. And Detmer comes in. He gets hurt the first half of San Francisco.
Yeah. Look like he gets shot.
Feely comes in, and they win. A.J. wins. They win. It's a Monday night in San Fran.
Yeah.
They win, and then they win, like, three of the next four. And the last game was against the Giants. Didn't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, some people were like, well, do you start A.J.? It's like, no, you're going to start Donovan.
Because he was healthy.
Right.
Yeah, and look,
because Donovan's the better player.
Yeah.
And then when the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game, there was a lot of people that said, well, why, you know, if AJ started, they would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on. That's not happening.
Yeah.
You were never going to start AJ.
Yeah, he wasn't even the starter on his college team.
No, but whatever. Yeah, but you get my point.
Like, yeah.
And you know, he played well. No, AJ mm-hmm. played well.
But they dumbed down the offense.
But he wasn't Donovan.
Yeah, and what did they do? What did Andy do? He simplified that offense when he had to go to his third string quarterback. And I mean, to me, that was a lot of coaching for the success there.
Yes.
It was a great job of coaching the success that Feely had. And good on the Eagles. They ended up getting a second round pick when they traded him to Miami for a guy that they just picked up as a project. But you're right. It's weird how we react to these players so differently, and I don't know if we can crack. I don't know. I think we need the audience to crack the code.
Yeah, I'm so interested in what Foles has that really leads people. Like he's a genuine. Like you could see he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know the whole thing. He came up big in the Super Bowl. We know about. He's got some sort of kind of cool charisma, like laid back, I should say.
Yeah,
charisma. You know, maybe it's all that stuff together, but
Cool Hand Luke.
There is something there that people felt like Wentz loses the Dallas game. However, he brought them back both times to tie the game.
Yeah.
And was in the middle of a referee controversy. And yet, if you talk to him, I'm going to read you a note from a buddy of mine who had the line of the day. He said that people act like he's Jeff Kemp.
Yeah.
This fill-in quarterback and act like he was horrible when he played.
No, you're right. I got a tweet here already and see if you agree with this. Diner Diva tweets in. She says, Nick Foles is very authentic and his love for God and his closeness to God. So I really think, as crazy as this sound, that God is watching over him. Now, Carson's an extremely religious man. So the God part, let's take that out of the equation because they're both very religious and they walk in the way of the Lord, whatever. But Nick Foles is very authentic. But does that mean that Carson is not authentic? I don't know if she's saying that. A lot of times that's how we take things. We say, this guy is this, so we make the jump that we're saying the other guy is not that.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
Nick Foles is clutch. Are we saying Carson is not clutch? No,
yeah.
We're just saying Nick is clutch. You know what I mean? So we gotta keep that in mind in having this conversation. But it's an important conversation, and it goes beyond just the Eagles, Ant. This bleeds into the other teams and elite talent and, you know, how we treat guys like T.J. McConnell.
Speaking of the other teams, I'm annoyed at one of them. And I'm actually, I'm trying to hold my temper with another one of them. Because I could explode on this team that plays in the summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you were so optimistic just a couple of days ago.
If they don't get Machado mm-hmm. or Harper, I'm going to go nuts.
Well, you heard what Andy McPhail said.
Yes, that's what precipitates that.
Yeah, okay. Look, I think that's speak, and I think that's him playing agent.
You know what that is?
Temper?
It could be, but it's also, you know, if you know, you quell expectations.
Tempering enthusiasm.
You know what's funny? These guys, they love to quell expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what happens is, they go out and say, and they're the least bit bold or honest, and go, yeah, man, you know, we expect so-and-so, we should finish in first place. Now, if something happens, you get a rash of injuries, people understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you play under expectations, they're going to get pissed.
Yeah.
So whether you say it or not, they're going to get pissed.
Yeah, but the thing is why you never... Look, and Middleton said he wanted to spend stupid cash, which I think we love to hear, but it wasn't the smartest thing to say, because then we get into this mindset of, okay, if that's the case, then you're going to spend stupid cash, you're going to end up with Machado or Harper, and we've heard even both at some points. And then the fan base wraps their head around that, and if you don't get the guy, it's like you lost him even though you never had him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we have it in our head that we're going to have Machado or Harper, and if you end up with either, now we've lost something, but we never actually had it.
No, we lost Harper.
See, you're there.
Oh,
you're mentally there right now.
I was there when the season ended. I expected to get Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it's...
No, I'm going to be pissed.
You're in that mode because you know that this offseason was pointed to for a while now as the offseason.
No excuse. There's no excuse. There's zero excuse. You pay whatever you get.
So you're worried.
Pay. Yeah.
You're the look on your face right now, I wish we were on TV right now.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm glad we're not, but because I look like hell. But that being said, you look worried. I see the worry in your face when you brought up the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, I read the quote. I don't like the quote.
Spit out your coffee.
I don't like the quote. I don't. Now, I understand. I've been around these executives for a long time, and everything's a negotiation. Mm-hmm. And we're only going to a certain threshold. I'm still concerned.
All right.
I'm still concerned. I'm hoping that John Middleton just says, get out of the way.
Andy.
Shh. Yeah.
I got the briefcase. The cash.
Yeah.
All right.
Midday Show, Jason Martinez. I'm Anthony Gargano, and we're thrilled to be joined by this guy. Talk about a favorite. Talk about a guy that you loved. Lunch pail man. Great hands. Caught everything. Blocker.
Was a bear to bring down.
He was a bear cat.
Cincinnati.
The great Brent Celek on the line on the Comcast Business Hotline. What do you say, Brent?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Man, miss you, buddy. How's life?
It's good. It's definitely more relaxed too. Not these ups and downs. I really don't worry about what you guys say during the week anymore either.
But I thought nobody ever listened to us. They always say, "Well, we don't listen."
I don't, but every time I get in my wife's car, I would hear it. I'd be like, golly, why I get in here?
Yeah, but you never got it.
No.
You got love, man. You knew that. You got love. Other people may have gotten it, but you didn't get it. We loved you. We loved you, too. You're the man. But, you know.
He's at Fan Fest this
especially
year.
Especially you. Who, you know, we'd see each other in the bar in town all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How's life outside city?
Well, I'm still in South Philly. I'm going to be moving to Westchester.
You didn't move yet? Yeah.
Nah, takes a long time to build.
Yeah, good, brother. Good for you. God bless.
Well, he's going to be a real estate maven.
Yeah, he already is.
He got the license. Yeah, he's all set. I love it.
All right, so I got to ask because I'm curious today. Today, I want to find out what Nick Foles has, like this magic that Nick Foles possesses.
Ice in his veins, dude. He just, it's like it doesn't matter the stage, the game, what it is. He's confident in his abilities. He's confident in his preparation. And he's confident in the guys around him and allowing them to make plays. He's got a different personality, but it's awesome. And I think, there's probably times in his career where people thought his mentality made it seem like he didn't care, but he cares deeply. He just doesn't let some of the outside stuff affect him.
Brent, sometimes, you know, when a key player goes down, like last year when Carson went down, you see it in other sports too, everybody else on the team raises the level of their play because you're missing your starter. You guys were able to sustain that last year after Carson got hurt in week 13. With this offense this year, is that something that is sustainable with Nick at quarterback going forward?
Oh, I think so. I mean, look at how well he played this last week, and that was just a taste of what I think he can do. I think over these next 2 weeks, he can continue to get better. Because he's going to get more comfortable being in, you know, throwing the ball to Ertz and practice every single day, throwing the ball more to Alshon, Tate, you know, Nelson, all those guys. I think they're just, the more they work together in practice and the more throws they get, they're just gonna, they're gonna become more on the same page.
Is he one of these guys that is just so laid back? Obviously cares deeply, but has a laid back kind of way that he just has a calming influence on everybody?
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's basically what I was saying before, is that, you know, some people can take that the wrong way, but it, you know, his personality allows everyone around him to just play loose, because it's like, all right, dude, you know, this guy's not letting anything affect him. It's not letting it affect us. Let's go have fun. Let's go play winter football.
Brent Celek with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. You know what's funny? Like, I think about the Super Bowl and that Philly clip where he walks over to Doug and, you know, they're deciding what to run, and he just says, how about Philly? And Brent, it was like the cool, like, you couldn't be more cool. Like, you know what I mean?
I know.
I mean, that's crazy. I never would have thought, like, that situation, to just go, hey, what about Philly? Like, what about mozzarella sticks?
I know, man, but that's him, and that's who he's always been.
Huh.
And it's cool to see that, you know, even being the Super Bowl MVP, it hasn't changed who Nick Foles is. And, you know, hopefully we still have some of that Foles magic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we need a few things to happen, but as long as he just continues to do what he's been doing, I think they're going to be good.
Brett, with you still living in the area and you're putting your roots down here, which is great, you've been watching this team all year. Matter of fact, we found out you were at a game up in the 200 level a couple weeks ago with the fans, which is great. but just, you're watching this team last year. Did it become apparent to you that Carson maybe wasn't right and he was dealing with some injuries, and not able maybe to make the same throws, not getting out of the pocket with the same efficiency that you saw pre-injury last year? Was that apparent to your eye watching Carson Wentz progress through this season?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, when you go back and look at some of these games, we're so close to winning. And, you know, there's a time when the defense was on the field and it was 4th and 15 and they couldn't get off the field.
Mm-hmm.
There's other 4th downs where the defense couldn't get off the field. And, you know, there's just, whether it's defense, offense, or special teams, there's always been, you know, something, one play here or there that's losing us the game. And, you know, it's just, I just think finally they put a full game together against the Rams, who, you know, they're struggling a little bit. But to do what they did, I thought was awesome. And I think at the end of the day, like, what it really comes down to is that O-line and D-line playing really good.
Yeah,
football.
You're right on.
And I think we saw that against the Rams. And if those guys can keep that up, they're going to be good.
Yeah, man, you nail it. Well, if you look how good that defensive line played, it dominated. Again, that reminded me of last year. Mm-hmm. What about Carson? See, I love Carson. I feel for him.
And, oh, me too.
You know, like, in this spot, like, you know, he's a gamer, and he was probably really hurting more than he would let on, because that's what he is, man. He wants to go out and play. That's his DNA. And I really think it's tough. He's in a bad spot, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough position, dude, with a guy that's as tough as he is. And, you know, that's what you expect of your leader, is for him to tough things out. And obviously, it just probably just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it's like, what do you do? At some point, you're getting it checked out, and then finally you figure out that it's actually getting a lot worse and you got to sit down. But to have that happen 2 years in a row, you know, I'm sure it hurts, man. I'm sure it really hurts. And I know how much football and that team means to him. And, you know, I feel for him, but he's a strong kid. He'll come back from it, and, he'll just be that much better.
We're talking with Brent Celek on the Comcast Business Hotline. Brent, you played 5 seasons with Zach Ertz, and this season, and you were sort of a mentor, or he was your apprentice, or whatever you want to call it. But what a season for him. He's got 101 catches, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns this year. Talk about what you've seen out of Zach Ertz this year, and also a guy in his rookie year, Dallas Goedert, who is a dynamic tight end as well in this league.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. This last game, Dallas and Zach, I thought they blocked really well, and they were big key in that run game. But going back to Ertz, you know, knowing Ertz for as long as I have, he's a competitor through and through. And, you know, he wants to be the best all the time. And when it comes down to, you know, third and long or fourth and long, you know, he wants to be that guy that you go to. And I think that seeing all the pass plays that have gone to him this year and all the great catches that he's made, like, I mean, he's an elite tight end. He's in that top two, top three in the NFL and has been for the last few years. And, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit because playing this position in the NFL, making that many catches, taking that many hits, like, he's doing a heck of a job. And hopefully he doesn't have to take too many hits moving forward because that stuff takes a toll on your body. But he's doing a great job, and I think he's doing a great job leading that young kid, Dallas, in there. And you can see just how Dallas is progressing. Some of the stuff he's doing in the past game is he's going to be a good player in this league.
Yeah,
I think he's just going to continue to get better as the years go on.
Talking to Brett Celek on the Comcast Business Hotline. So when you look at this team now from afar, do you feel it? Like, is there a possibility that, because, you know, the magic has to happen with the Vikings. Like, we need the Vikings to lose a game. And, you know, for us, do you feel it? You sense it?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they just got to take care of this week. That's all that matters. Do I think these other things will happen? Yeah, I've seen crazier things happen. I remember in 2008.
Yeah.
When we needed, like,
the Bears?
Crazy teams.
Yeah,
no, Tampa, we needed,
Tampa?
Like, the Bucks and the Raiders.
Yeah.
Some crazy things to happen.
Yeah, that was wild.
And it all happened.
You end up in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, exactly. So it can happen. Do I believe? I do.
You gotta
my guys in that building, they work too hard, man. And I know what they're all made of. That O and D line just got to come to play.
Is the DNA of this team even more pronounced as an underdog? Does that make sense? Do they really, there's something about that role?
I love it. I love it. And it's just, here's the thing. This is what I think about teams. Everyone on the outside can be against you, which is great, as long as everyone on the inside is for everyone on the inside. And I think when you have all this doubt that comes from the outside, like, they can't do it, they're not good enough, they're the underdog, then it creates this, like, nucleus inside the team, and everyone just becomes that much stronger because they're like, dude, everyone doubts us? Nah, we're going to come together and we're going to be great. And so I think it just does something to teams and something to great teams and good leaders. And I think they have those guys in that locker room, you know, that can turn around.
Yeah, that galvanizes the group. Last question for me, Brent. How's retirement, man? How does it feel? Do you miss getting out on the field? I know your body probably doesn't, but how has it felt in your first year without football, and what probably seems like forever for you because it was your life for so long?
Yeah, I mean, it has been good not to get beat on, to be honest. The one thing I do miss waking up every morning, walking into that locker room, messing with all the guys, joking with them. You know, it's hard to get that anywhere else. I mean, it's impossible to get that anywhere else, to be honest. And so that's one part that I miss and I always miss. But I don't really miss being on the field. I think playing in the Super Bowl has really helped that a lot, winning a Super Bowl. And, you know, I've been at peace with not being on the field. But I definitely do miss the guys and miss some people in that organization.
It's brotherhood.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, camaraderie and brotherhood, no doubt.
Deal.
Yeah.
Brother, great checking in, man. It's always good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Brent.
There he is. Brent Celek.
Wow. If it's time for a little something we like to call Riled Up. Yes, hit the Riled Up line at 610-771-9751. If you're on hold, we'll get to you momentarily, but we got to check in on the Riled Up line and what came in last night because lots going on in Philadelphia sports. Let's get right to it, Andrew.
Whoa, Philzy and I. Put the brakes on. I watched Nick Foles play great through three quarters, throws a pick inside the 10, which absolutely 100% destroys all momentum that the Eagles had in that football game. And if it wasn't for a special teams gap, I don't think they're winning. Just keep that in mind.
But here's the thing, because I feel you, and it was fortunate that the fumble happened, because it looked like the Rams had momentum and were going to go down the field. However, could it be the presence of Foles? The magic of Foles? Or just, you know, just the presence of, the mere presence of the man caused the turnover.
I'll tell you, he uses the Force. He's Luke Skywalker. He kind of looks like Luke Skywalker. We got to get him like that white robe and the belt and Luke Skywalker and the TIE Luke fighter Skywalker. Or something. He needs a lightsaber. Now, Nick would have a big lightsaber, according to a lot of people. What's next?
All right. The Eagles won, but, man, I'm riled up because, where did Jim Schwartz call a good game? He called a good game in the first half. Second half, he went in that prevent defense for the fourth quarter. We almost lost it. It was one pass away from being tied up, and then they would have won in overtime. Come on, man. Don't be giving them credit.
No, listen. With that secondary, you got to give him credit on that one. And he blitzed. He showed pressure. Yeah, that offense is ridiculously talented. I got to give the guy credit. Yeah. I'm sorry, bro. I got to give him credit.
You got to give it when it's due.
I mean, Jim Schwartz deserves it.
He spoke today. I saw Tim McManus tweet out a quote and said, "We would not have won that game without Avante Maddox, who's been very good." That's a little gem that you're finding now that you got.
I love Avante Maddox.
Yeah, he's been good and versatile as well.
And Douglas as a safety.
How about that hit? A hit and tackle. Great, but yeah, I mean, he leveled the guy.
Anthony, it's cold. So cold. Can you get back over here in the Baxter and keep me warm in Hawaii? Because I can.
That's right. You and Wes. Did you guys sleep in the Baxter last night?
No, I did. He left.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He had to get to Bible study last night, so he left the Baxter?
I stayed in.
All right. Is he back in with you today or no?
No, I haven't seen him.
No?
No, I haven't seen him. I don't know where he's at.
Mini Carson?
He might be on the like in a duck blind.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
He's up in a tree stand right now.
Yeah, I'll look for him.
No, we heard from another Carson, actually.
No, really?
Anthony, it's Carson Clipboard. I was thinking about switching to a BB gun and shooting Nick in the foot. I don't want to hurt him that bad, but just not let him play the rest of this year. I don't need him taking my job. Now, why?
He's got the Red Ryder BB gun from the Christmas story.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
Be careful, you shoot your eye out. You ever have a BB gun? Like a daisy?
I never did, no.
No?
No.
Oh man, I had the BB gun. I love the BB gun.
Yeah?
Oh, blast with the BB gun.
Yeah, I never had the BB gun.
Have you ever shot a BB gun or a pellet gun?
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Somewhere down the line.
All right.
I
want to go camping with you. I seriously do. Let's see if I can starve you out or something.
No,
go on a hike and then just disappear on
there's
you.
There's no like oodles and noodles there, and I'm out.
Oodles and noodles, like a cuppo noodles.
Yeah, like
the bro eats.
I don't know what else. What's there? Like that you could nosh on.
Well, you got your little camping kit and you cook stuff on the fire.
I know. That's why I told you the oodles and noodles. I'm out on the chicken.
What, you got like a microwave in your backpack?
Yeah, dude, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
Isn't it amazing what happens when you don't check down to Zach Ertz every play, Carson? Wow. Nick Foles looks like Nick Montana.
Oh, come on. That's just not right.
Well, maybe he checked
down. You can't throw him on the bus like that.
He didn't feel comfortable making those other throws due to being injured. You know, whether it was the knee, the back, the wing.
Nick Montana.
Yeah, let's settle down there a little bit. What's next?
I don't want to hear about the game plan. I don't want to hear about the running game because they almost lost that game with some weak-ass run calls on third down. You got that quarterback. Air it out, Doug. Come on. Throw the ball, baby. Let's go.
Air it out. Gotta air it out.
Okay.
Next.
I'm so happy the Birds won this game. This was a big game. Nobody thought they can do it. I didn't even think they can do it. They showed the true heart of a champion, and the Super Bowl champs still live. You're not going to knock us off until we're knocked off. So right now, we're on a roll. We got one win under our belt.
We all we got, we all we need.
Put the mask on, my brother. Put the ski mask on.
Sometimes you're very pleased when you're wrong. You know, we all had a thought going into this game, and there's some people, like Provolone Joe, who picked the Eagles to win the game, and Tyrone who picked an outright winner. But I didn't pick the Eagles. I thought it was going to be double-digit loss and with the potential of being a Saints-type loss.
And, oh, listen, I mean, that offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, and then at halftime when it's 13-13, I'm going, can they do it? And it's all going to come down to what? The halftime second half adjustments. And you got McVay over there who's been sensational and who Doug has been a little bit questionable this year. But yet they
the fake
it.
Punt was bad.
It was a bad decision, yeah. I thought. And why would you do a fake punt when you got to throw the ball that far? On an out route? Nah. Quarterbacks have a hard time making that throw, let alone a punter.
Yeah.
Ooh, I agree. That was a bad call.
What's they were desperate.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps talking about we need Minnesota to lose. No one's talking about the Seattle Seahawks. They just lost to the 49ers. If they lose two, we win two, we're in. I don't know. If we're tied with them, I don't know what the tiebreakers are. Do we beat them in a tiebreaker? I have no clue. Okay?
No.
Yeah, you're right. Seattle did lose this week. And the target opportunity is over the Vikings. That's the one. But they play Kansas City, and we talked about this yesterday, okay, guy. They play Kansas City. Okay, give them the loss, right, this week? Seattle. But in week 17, they play Arizona. And Arizona is horrific.
To answer his question, though, if they do end up with the same record, Seattle wins the tiebreaker because they have the better conference record. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just to answer the OK guy's question.
All right.
So, okay.
But the OK guy, he must not have the internet, or that or his AOL disc ran out of minutes.
No, but let me ask you a question, because I found him palatable.
Yeah, he wasn't over the top OK guy-ish.
There's some
today.
Confidence in there.
I thought he would have had a nice OK guy ran on the Flyers, but he didn't come through with
it. So them. Here's one thing. I can't wait for tonight.
For the game?
Because they did.
Yeah, they're debuting Carter Hart tonight.
Yeah.
Against the Red Wings.
This is a big game.
It's a big moment, absolutely.
Big moment in Flyer land.
Yeah, and it piques a lot of people's interest that this boy wonder, the savior. Boy, a lot of pressure on him, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, he's got to go into it. Whatever it is. I mean,
still a puck?
It's one game. It's his first game.
Yep.
I know he's going to be nervous and the whole thing, but you're not going to make a judgment off a kid in one game.
Yeah, the net's the same size that he's been protecting his whole life. Not bigger, none of that stuff.
You're giving him Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
So I put out a tweet on the Midday account yesterday when the news broke that he was coming up. And I said, you know, exciting news for Flyers fans. And so many people respond saying, no, this is not exciting because Hackstall is going to ruin his career early. Well, Hackstall's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So are people now excited that Hack's gone?
Oh, yeah.
And that Carter Hart's up?
Yeah. I think people are. But
I'm excited. I'm really excited for him.
I was excited for him whether or not Hack is there. I'm excited to see Carter Hart. A lot of people were nervous that Hackstall is going to ruin Hart's career.
I don't hate the Hack. It was just kind of a waste of time.
It was time. But make sure, if you want to see him as a Flyer, make sure you watch him tonight because he could be back down with the Phantoms at the drop of a dime. I don't think this is going to be a long trip up here by any stretch. I think he's going to end up back down with the Phantoms. Well, that's easier said than done. You want him playing behind this defense, Ant?
Yeah, listen, just let him play.
I wouldn't put Patrick Waugh out there.
Let him play. Who cares? Like, you know, is he going to kill his confidence for the future? Does he have that? What kind of makeup is he? You know him.
Yeah, well, apparently he's got the head and everything. I was texting with Boosh yesterday, former NHL netminder.
What does Boosh say about? Does he stay or does he? Or do you send him back?
Boosh does not want him here right now.
No?
No.
It's next. I'll tell you what, man. This guy, Nick Foles, out here, he's looking like a little St. Nick around this time of year. This guy comes in here, throws some touchdowns, wins some games, man. I like it. This guy is unbelievable, man. Let's not make this real complicated. I'm going after him in the offseason. Gargano, Martinez, let's go, baby. Playoff
not
time.
Make this real
complicated. How about it, Gruden? Goes Foles.
What is Spider 2Y Banana?
Anytime anybody does Gruden, they start out with it. I'll tell you what, man.
That's impressive. He goes Foles.
And you know why people go with I'll tell you what, man, when they do it? It's not because that's what Gruden does. It's because that's what the impression does.
Gets you in the groove.
Well, what's his name? I can't think of it.
Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, Caliendo. He always goes with it. I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah, everybody thinks
that Gruden actually does that now, and I'll tell you what, he doesn't. What's next?
Breaking news. Flyers head coach Dave Hextall has been relieved of his duty.
No one cares.
No one cares.
All right. Well, maybe you didn't care, and that's your prerogative. But I can assure you that people care that he was terminated and fired from his position as the coach. And they move forward. Well, he was in a really tough spot. And from what I understand, he went in and said, you guys got to make a decision here. You got to either say, I'm going to be the guy the rest of the year, or like it's an S or get off the pot, because I got no power. I'm powerless. So either... He didn't ask for a vote
of
confidence. Though.
He's right. I mean, you can't let him dangle.
And that's what he was doing. His cheese was hanging since Hextall got fired.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then they made a decision. They fired him yesterday, and we'll see what happens with him going forward. But most importantly, what happens with this team going forward?
This is the Fanatics holiday wheel here. I just want to say it's great to be back out. But I just want, this is one of the Fanatic employees out there. I'm out here just sitting here. I'm kind of bored. Like, I'm getting spun at 9, 1, and 5. That's cool and all, but feel free at any time. Just come in the studio and give me a spin. I'm bored. I could use the activity. I've been sitting in a closet for 11 and a half months. So, you know, anybody, just come by and spin me. Even you, Martinez. Even if you don't wash your hands in the men's room. Come spin me. I'm cool.
Ah. The holiday wheel checking in on the
holiday wheel.
Yeah, the holiday wheel gets used on other occasions. It is a wheel that's got multi-purpose. We bring it to events at remotes and spin it. It also gets, we'd use it as a topic wheel when we do like the shows where we all get together. What's that called again?
The All-Star Day, the All-Star Round Table.
Yeah. We haven't done an All-Star Day in a while.
Yeah.
I like the All-Star Day.
None of us made the All-Star team in a while, so we're good. there it is. That's Riled Up. Hit the Riled Up line tonight. 610-771-9751. Leave your messages there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.